of which our church has supported for several years, have taken a few trips. Some of you have been to Haiti to be at Mission Hope, and a couple times, I think Brad was even there while we were there. So it's really good to have him with us. And we just thought, before Brad brings the message this morning, I just told Brad, let me unpack a little bit about what's going on in your neck of the woods and what's going on in Haiti. And I know there's been a lot of changes, just like we've experienced changes because of COVID. A lot of changes going on with Mission of Hope as well. So let me just kick it over to you right now and just, like, what's changed in Mission of Hope and what you're doing?
Yeah. There's been a, am I on?
I think so.
Okay. There we go. There's been a ton that has changed. Just a lot of it has to do with COVID. But also, when we started off, we were just Haiti. And God did a lot of incredible things in Haiti over the last 20 years. But then recently we were introduced to a gentleman that he had a mission in Guatemala and he was looking for someone to hand it off to. And so he asked us if we would take it. So we took that mission, and that's going great in Guatemala, and we're also in the Dominican Republic. Some of the changes that have happened as of January or February, when COVID really came in, we couldn't take North Americans anywhere to serve in the countries. So that's stopped some of our ministries, cut a large portion of our budget. However, the good news is ministry didn't stop. We have over 400, or about 400 Haitian staff that are still leading the ministry, doing great. Just last week, they had 1,700 kids that came in for a basketball clinic in our new facility there, and they had a tournament, and that was incredible to see them playing. And it was the first time many of them had been together in a large crowd, just because of COVID as well. So God continues to move through the staff, even though North American presence isn't there.
And I know that I asked you about that. So, like, we know what COVID did in America. How big did it hit in Haiti too? And you told me a little bit about that. It ran through Haiti as well.
Yeah, in Haiti it was it ran fast. The death toll wasn't near as bad as it has been here in the States, but many people had it. The good news for Haiti is most of the population is under the age of 25, over half the population. So many of them could resist it better and go through it better. But there's still, it shut the country down, which caused a lot of pause in food distribution and food coming in and health care, people being able to go to the hospitals. So other deaths happened because of that, though.
You know, and back when the first time I went to Haiti, I went with Brad when we were in college, and there was nothing built there yet. And we were part of building some of the first buildings together. Of course, as Brad said, they've torn all those down because we weren't very good at construction. No. And they've got better buildings
now. We weren't construction majors.
We're not construction majors. But one of the things I know Brad's heart and vision was that a lot of times they depended on Americans coming over and running the place. And that's just awesome to hear down the road the vision is taking place. Now the Haitians run it, and we come and aid in the help. But they have those people who run the whole deal. And so when you can't get Americans there, it doesn't miss a beat because the leadership's already planted there and they're homegrown. So that's a really cool thing. Let me ask a different question. So, what are you excited about? I mean, I know you mentioned some of the changes, but I know there's also some stuff coming that's in development right now and being done. So what are those things that, man, just like, man, I'm so excited about this. Let me tell your church this.
Yeah, I think one of the biggest things that I'm really excited about is what God's doing in Guatemala. We never thought we would go to Guatemala. We never thought that we even had the capacity to go there. And I really fought it for a long time. We were Haiti, we're only in Haiti, and when God brought the opportunity to go, I realized it's a lot like kids, that I have four kids, and my first child, I didn't think I had the capacity to love another child as much as this one. Then you have the second, and the third, and the fourth, and I have my favorite, of course, Jeff, but I'm not going to tell him who that is, but you have the capacity to do more. And so Guatemala, where God has put us, is a really unreached area. So we're seeing people that are underserved, and the church is not really alive there yet. And so to be able to train the pastors and work with the people and take what 20 years of learning from Haiti and apply it to Guatemala is really exciting. The other thing in Guatemala that's really exciting is they have a desire to work collaboratively. So it's taken us 20 years to get over 500 organizations to join something we call Haiti One, where they've come together and said, hey, we're going to win Haiti for Christ together. Well, Guatemala's already asking, can we do a Guatemala one? So that's really exciting. In Haiti, one of the things that really is just been awesome is we started two and a half years ago, a technical school. The reason we did that is because we've had kindergarten, grade school, and high school. We've had thousands of kids go through that. 7,000 kids are in it right now. And every time they graduate, they ask us, now what? What's next for us? And so we designed a technical school, and it has diesel mechanics, small engine mechanics, plumbing, electrical, welding, HVAC, and then we just added a year ago Cisco Systems, which is computers, and that's just taken off. We have 450 students in that. That's our capacity. We can't hold more. And so we saw the desire for it. So we've cast a vision to have a university. So we're actually building out the plans. The plans are built out, but we're fundraising to start a university next year. The university will have about 1,500 students in it, and it will. What we'll do is we'll have them come in, and there will be an English academy for 1 year, and then this is the part that's really exciting, is they will then get a U.S. accredited degree because they'll be online with a facilitator in the classroom. So they'll graduate in Haiti with the same degree my kids would graduate here in the States with. So that, we believe, really could change the nation.
That's awesome. And I know that's been your heart for years is, you know, they take young kids who maybe their mom and dad both died, they're orphans, give them an education, get them fed. And one way you change a country is through education, but it's also Christ-centered education. And so they're bringing new leaders, growing them up in Haiti, who can step into influential roles throughout the country and lead from a Christ-centered basis. And a lot of that would never happen if Mission Hope wasn't there. I asked Brad, I said, and you may probably will never put this forward, but I'm just going to ask you, when we were alone last night, just chilling and talking, I said, in Haiti, are you guys the biggest mission? He goes, Christian mission. We're probably the most influential and widespread in Haiti. And so I just want you to know what you're giving to is making a huge difference. The other thing I love is, you know, just the whole Guatemala story. I can remember when we get together once a year, him and one of our other roommates, and while we're together, I know it's probably been a year, you were just engaging this guy who was going to retire. He ran that ministry for 16 years, but he wanted to hand it off so it would continue and be even better than it was when he had it. And they picked Mission of Hope as the person they wanted to talk to. And, you know, as Brad said, he fought it and fought it. I don't know if this is what we want to do, really focused on Haiti. But I think that says a lot about that organization, that somebody else is willing to take what they started and ran for 16 years and say, we think you're the one to take it over. We couldn't hand it off to any better. Plus, because they saw Brad and the way they do outreach, and that was a part that they might want to be strong in, and Mission of Hope is very strong. So good stuff going on. A little similar question but different. Not just what excites you, but then what drives you? What makes it hard to sleep at night sometimes? Because, like, we got to figure this out. We got to do this somehow. I don't know how yet. I'm going to take it to the Lord, but we got to do this.
Yeah, the big one for me, there's two. The really big one in Guatemala is when I walk through, and Guatemala is really unique where we're at because you can't drive to a lot of places. You have to take boats up these little rivers. So you have kids that are there that, if I reversed it 20 years, that's what Haiti looked like when we got there in this area. Was very uneducated. Mom and dad have never been to school. If you ask the kids their dream, they want to be a fisherman, which is not bad, but it's not going to ever provide for their family. And so now you fast forward in Haiti 20 years and you go, they want to be a doctor, they want to be an electrician, they have a dream, a vision. So in Guatemala, it's how do we cast the vision big enough so that the parents and the children see that they can be educated. Right now, sixth grade is about their tops. If they make it to sixth grade, they have a big celebration. Well, we want them to be able to have the opportunity to go on and go further so that they hear the gospel and so that they can go out and change their country. So that would be in Guatemala. In Haiti, I've been going to Haiti since I was 5 years old with my mom and dad, and I've never seen it as bad as it is right now with nutrition. The UN number says that we're at 4.1 million people that are in food crisis. There's 12 million-ish people in Haiti. So that's about a third of the population that's in food crisis. There's over a million people right now that won't eat. They don't know where their next meal is going to come from. And so, you know, our prayer is, and it's a big prayer, to be honest with you, we don't have the answers for it, but God, please, would you feed them? And the scripture we share about in our staff is when Jesus fed the 5,000. There was no reason that you should take those 5 loaves and 2 fish and be able to feed so many, and we're believing that God will do that for Haiti.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but when I asked Brad, at first when we were talking, I thought it was just a food crisis, so you don't have enough food. It's not about not having enough food. It's that it costs so much.
Yeah.
And families can't even afford food. And so I want you to see how this all weaves together. It's not just one simple solution, right? It is through the love of Christ, but it's when you get people education so they can get a better paying job so they can afford and they can buy food. But there's some who don't have that. And so when you give to Mission of Hope, you're helping with that. You're helping to put food in the bellies given to kids who may not make it to the next week. And I know that's how a lot of things started, because we were together I was on a trip, and you were there when a child died because of starvation, which, you know, really shouldn't happen in this world at all, but it does. And so a lot of what you're hearing about when you give will help towards this great cause. As most of you know, last year we partnered with Mission Hope and Numana, who they partner with, and we bagged food. We fixed that. We're going to do that again this year. And last year we sent about 40 to 45,000 meals to Haiti. And I know Brad said that was a great help, and we're going to do that again in November. So as you give to Be Rich this year, a part of that's helping with Mission of Hope and bringing some of this food. But in addition, there's other ways. Should we just show the video? Would that be a good way?
Yeah, that'd be great. So the food crisis is real. And when you pack the meals last time, the way that goes is it goes to our warehouse in Haiti, and then from there it goes out to schools all over the country. We have 101,000 kids a day that are getting a meal. Because of your faithfulness and other churches that are packing meals and giving to our Team Hope program, what we're trying to address is the 80,000 kids that aren't in the program that have signed up. Their parents have signed them up to be in that program. We want to be able to answer that prayer.
So we want to answer the prayer of those parents.
Yeah.
Take a look at this video and let it move your heart.
The food crisis in Haiti is a serious reality. Millions of Haitians are currently living in a state of food insecurity with no idea where their next meal may come from. Team Hope is a group of individuals committed to address this crisis. Members of Team Hope commit to giving monthly so that we can partner with schools and churches to provide meals to those in need. From our warehouse in Tita in Haiti, food is distributed all across the country to the most vulnerable. However, Team Hope means more than just a meal. When a child receives a regular meal, it meets a need now and it changes their future. With food in their belly, a child actually has the energy needed to focus on school. When a child is fed, parents don't have to make the decision to pull their kids away from education to work at a young age. When children have food, they are more free to dream of what they could be when they grow up. They can become electricians, doctors, or mechanics. One day, these kids who receive a meal can get married, raise a family, and care for their loved ones. About $10 per month feeds one child for that month and provides the opportunity for so much more. You can be a part of meeting the basic needs for these children and providing hope for their future. When you are part of Team Hope, your impact is more than a meal.
So Team Hope, you can go to our website and join the team. We also have some of these forms in the back. Today, I am honored to stand in front of you because you all have been partners with us for quite a while, quite a long time. And when I see the faces on the screen, I know a lot of them, and I know the impact that you've had on them. So don't ever underestimate the importance of the meal pack and giving to the Be Rich program, because we see the impact it has on our people. The very reason that our 400 staff there and our 30 staff in Guatemala could continue to work through COVID without us was because of the faithfulness of people just like you. So thank you for giving. This morning, I want to talk to you about something very important. Now, when I was in school at University of Huntington College at the time, I was never the best student. So what I found was that it was always good to find one of the best students and be their friend. So I found Jeff. And so Jeff, hey, you know, by the way, I have to say this. I hadn't seen Jeff for several months. We've talked on the phone, but when I saw him, my goodness, he's lost some weight, hadn't he? He looks great. Yeah, you're looking good, man. But I chose Jeff. He was my buddy, but he was always a great student, always a great student. So I knew that I needed to find the answer. But today, I'm going to give you the answer to everything we're talking about right here. I'm going to serve it up. Now, when we were in class together, we were joking about it backstage, when we had one professor in theology that would give us, he would say, on the exam, you could bring a note card, a 3x5 note card, and write anything, all the answers on it. And I'm telling you, we could condense our writing down to these little things, so we had every answer possible, front and back. But today's answer is love. So when I point to you, I want you to give me the answer, all right? So let's try it out, because we're going to use it several times. Ready? That's how easy it is. See, that's the kind of test I like. When the teacher said, here's the answer, and then you got it. So today, just before we get going, I want to warm us up. Now, I love music. I am not a good singer. But we're going to try this out real quick. So, ready? I'm going to point to you, and then I'm going to sing, and we're going to fill it in. So, lifted me, lifted me. How many of you know that song? When nothing else could help, lifted me. Okay, you got it. All right, so here's the next one. This is going to bring you some warm fuzzies when you hear this one. It's from a guy that my mom listened to. Me tender, me true. I don't know any of the words, so da-da-da-da-da. That's a good one. All right, now for some of you of more my generation, I won't say young because I'm not young anymore, this one is from one of the greats. And I will always love you. Anyways, all right, I think you got it. It's love. Today's answer is love. And you know, when I think about 2020, wow, what a year, huh? 2020, I often think if my grandfather, who has passed away now, could come back and just sit and look at what's going on in our world, he'd be amazed. From just technology, but then COVID, protests, politics, sometimes it leaves you with the question of what is the answer? And so I was reading a devotional, and I found probably one of the best descriptors of 2020. So I'm going to read this devotional to you. And I want you, as we read this, I want you to think of, this is how I kind of think 2020 is. A woman was sitting in her family room when a small black snake suddenly appeared and slithered across the floor and made its way under the couch. Being deathly afraid of snakes, she ran to the bathroom to get her husband, who was taking a shower. He came running out of the shower with a towel around his waist and grabbed an old broom handle from the closet and began poking under the couch. At this point, the family dog awakened. Curious to see what was happening, the dog came up behind the husband and touched his cold nose to the back of the man's heel. The man, thinking the snake had just bitten him on the heel, fainted. The wife concluded that her husband had collapsed with a heart attack. So she ran down the house a block to the hospital. The ambulance drivers promptly came to the house and placed him on the stretcher. But as they were carrying him out the door, the snake reappeared from underneath the couch. One of the drivers got so afraid that he dropped the end of the stretcher and broke the man's leg. Seeing her husband's leg broke and twisted, the wife collapsed on the spot. Meanwhile, the snake slithered out quietly. An old African proverb says, there are 40 kinds of lunacy, but only one kind of common sense. Today, we are left with a lot of questions. What do we do with a world that's in the situation it is? Do we run and hide? What is the church to do to respond? What am I to do with my friends? And I believe the Bible gives us very clear guidance on that. If you'd open your Bibles to Luke 10, 25 through 37. This is a story that you all know. You've heard it many times. It holds a dear place to my heart because it's the story of the Good Samaritan. And the Good Samaritan in Haiti, there was an orphanage that we would go to and visit called the Good Samaritan, or we called it the Good Sam. And this is where I walked in one day, and I saw this little boy sitting on a floor, and he put his arms up to me, and the Lord spoke to me and said, "This is your son." Over many, many months, we took this little boy in, and God confirmed it was our son. He's our oldest. His name is JD. I'll go next week out to Virginia to see him graduate from Marine Intelligence School, so he's proudly serving our country. But it's amazing to see the Good Samaritan and what that did for us. But in this scripture, you're gonna hear more about it. Now, in Luke, it says this, in 10:25, it says, "On one occasion, an expert of the law stood up to test Jesus." How many of you know that's never a good idea, to test Jesus? He says, "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What is written in the law?" he replied. "How do you read it?" He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." "You've answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this and you will live." But he wanted to justify himself. So he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" In this, Jesus replied, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho." Now, if you do research on this, Jerusalem is set up high, and there's this windy road that goes down to Jericho. It's a very dangerous road by nature, but certainly for someone if they wanted to rob you. So going on, it says, when he was going down to Jericho, when he was attacked by robbers, they stripped him of his clothes, they beat him, and they went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road. When he saw the man, he passed on the other side. So too, a Levite, when he came and he saw him, passed on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was. And when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him, bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii and gave it to the innkeeper. "Look after him," he said, "and when I return, I'll reimburse you for any extra expenses you may have." Which of these three was which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? The expert of the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise." God, we thank you for today. We thank you that, God, you've called us to love. And we thank you for your illustration here in this parable. God, may we hear your word today and go and do likewise. We love you, Jesus. Amen. So here we are. We see this story. You've heard it. But there's really 4 characters. The one is the man that was beaten and left for half dead, taking everything that he had on him. And then we hear the priest. Now, remember, Jesus is using this as a parable. It's not a real story. He's trying to teach something here. So the priest comes down, and he knows religion. This guy's religious. He gets it. And the Bible says he saw him and he walked around him. Then there's the Levite. The Levite, he knows the law. So he knew what to do. He walked by. He saw him, walked on by. And then there's the Samaritan. The Samaritan in the culture there was kind of the lower class. Most people looked down on Samaritans. But the Samaritan walked by, he looked, and he had pity or compassion on the man, and he took care of him. And Jesus says, that's the Good Samaritan. Go and do likewise. What did he do? He looked at him with love, and he showed him love. That's what he did. So there's 3 things I want us to take from this. The first thing is this: love is a choice. Love is a choice. We know that love is a choice because the Bible says for us to love God and love people. For us to love God, it's a choice every day that we get up.
and we make the choice, today I'm going to spend time with Jesus. I'm going to spend time, mind, body, soul, spirit, with the Lord. There's this raging competition today for our time. There's a raging competition for our time. And when I wake up, my phone sits by my bed because it's also my alarm clock. The temptation for me every morning is the first thing I do, pick up my phone, shut my alarm off, and go, what's happening in the world today? That could be my first feed. That would be the first thing. But for me, personally, for me to love the Lord, I need to get up and get into His Word first. It sets me in the right mind. So it's a choice that I make. You see, on this scripture, to love people, we see the priest walk by, and he made a cognitive decision. It was a choice. He saw a man in need, and he walked on. The Levite, the same. He saw him, and he made a choice to not love him. But the Samaritan. The Samaritan looked upon him, and he said, I'm choosing today to love him. How many times in our lives do we just walk by when there's a need? One little lady that I've met in Haiti, Jeff knows her. Her name is Madam Chief. Madam Chief is literally right about this tall. She's a short little lady. She's been faithful for 20 plus years to come to church. But when I first met her, she was living in a garbage dump. And she built her house. And when I say house, it was a lean-to with trash stuck around it. She built it out of trash. And in the middle, there was this little door. And the first time we walked in, out comes walking or crawling out Madam Chief. And I thought, wow, there's a lady that lives in the trash. I couldn't believe that somebody would live there. And then out from behind her came three small kids. And I went up to her and I said, Madam Chief, are those kids yours? And she goes, oh, no, those aren't my kids. They were walking down from the mountain, and I talked to them, and they said their mom and dad had died. So I thought to myself, I have a house. God's given me a house. I'm going to have them live with me. So I adopted them. When she told me that, it wrecked me because I've grown up with plenty. I've grown up with a roof over my head. I've never thought, where's my next meal going to come from? And here's a lady that is living in a trash heap that made a choice to love three kids she had never met because God gave her a better trash heap than they had. Love's a choice. Second thing is, love's an action. Love is action. Remember when you first met your first girlfriend, your first boyfriend, your spouse? I mean, it was awesome. You just couldn't stop thinking about them, what songs they were going to play. If you live back in the day of cassette tapes, some of us made tapes and gave them to them with all the greatest love songs on them. And some of us would buy chocolates, and everything is just about how do I show them that I love them. What's awesome is I got to be with Jeff when he first saw Jody, and then when they first started going out. And I remember, like I said earlier, that I loved Jeff because he always had the answers to tests. But in this season, he had one answer and one answer only. I'd be like, Jeff, have you studied for Bible? He'd be like, yeah, the answer's Jody. I'm like, oh, Jeff, you've lost it. But it was an action. His whole world became about how do I take care and show Jody that I love her. And so love is an action. You see, when we love God and we spend that time, we make the choice that we're with Him, His love covers us, every inch of our body, so that when we're with people, it seeps out of us in a way that changes the world. It's in that choice that we spend with Him that the action starts to come out of us, and you see God's light permeate from us, and you see the church come to life. It is about the action that we have. Jesus actually says this about the disciples in John 13:35. He says, your love for one another will prove to the world that you're my disciples. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you're my disciples. Think about that for just a second. We're a body in here. The way we love each other shows everybody outside Jesus. It shows him the love that we have for Christ. It shows them what they should and want. They want when they see the way we love each other. The question is, how are we loving each other? I want you to ask yourself this question. Think of someone that has loved you well. Think of someone in your mind, just think of them, and then think of what they did. It was, for me, one of the people was my grandfather. My grandfather told me he loved me, but he showed me by the time he spent with me, by the time he came to my ball games, by the time that he was just, he'd take me fishing. I saw his love. It was an action. Today, the world is asking us, church, do you believe what you say you believe? Do you believe it enough to live it? Number three. So the first one is love's a choice. Second, love's an action. The third, love brings change. Our love for God and his people stirs our hearts to a place where we give generously. We serve outrageously. Some of you have been to Haiti and served with us. Thank you. But we serve outrageously, whether it be in Haiti or whether we're driving by in downtown here and we see somebody broke down and we help them. Our light shines because of our love that brings that change. I could stand here all day and really tell you about all the things that God has done and all he's doing to show and bring change, but three things come to mind for me. The first is when the earthquake happened in Haiti, there was a group of surgeons that came from Texas. There's about 19 of them. One of them had his best friend with him. Both surgeons, one was an atheist, one was a believer. And we had this makeshift operating room set up, and not to be too graphic, but people came in. Many times they had to do amputations, and these two ladies were laying on the table. They were getting, both doctors were getting ready to amputate their legs. We didn't have an anesthetic machine, so they had to do epidurals, so they could only feel from their chest. They couldn't feel from their chest down. So these ladies were looking at each other as the doctors are about ready to amputate their legs, and they started singing together, "Great is thy faithfulness." And the doctor stopped what he was doing. He says, "What are they saying?" He said, "They're talking about how faithful God is." And in that moment with those two ladies, the atheist doctor looked at the other one and said, if they can believe in a God, I believe in a God too. Today, that man is following the Lord. He's given his life to the Lord. He's been discipled. He's leading others, all because of this thing of love. Those ladies' love for Christ permeated, and it changed his life to now where he's changing others. See, love brings change. I'll never forget when I was a 12-year-old boy, I've never been, well, let's put it this way. My mom always tells me I'm big-boned. I don't think that's a real thing. I just probably ate more than the average child. But I was in Haiti, and I never looked malnourished, but there was this little boy that was malnourished that came up to me after a church service with his mom. And I remember it like it was yesterday. They gave me bananas. And it blew me away because I thought, here's this little boy that obviously needs the food. But he gave me bananas, the little that he would have had to eat. And it honestly changed my life. That small act of love for him was a huge act of love, gave me something that changed the way I saw everything going forward. See, love brings change. And lastly, it was in 2007, 2008, some of you remember the economic downturn during that time. Mission of Hope our budget was about $100,000 a month. And we had $15,000 that dropped. People said they couldn't do it. So we were on our knees just going, "Lord, Do we cut staff? Do we stop a ministry? What do we do?" And so we went to this church, and after church, a man came up to him and he said, "The Lord spoke to me and asked me to write you a $15,000 check." You see, his love for God made it possible for us to take that money and show our love for God to other people because of his act of obedience. You see, when we love God and we love his people, the world changes. So the answer to everything we see is what? It's love. When we love God, we make that choice, we realize that it permeates us, it's an action, we will see change that happens from that love. So today, as the world's a little bit crazy, remember, love God, love his people, and may we go and love the Lord deeply and see the kingdom change for him. Let's pray. God, thank you for today. Thanks so much for your word. God, may it change us. May we be the good Samaritan, Lord, when you tap on our shoulder And God, we just pray that, Father, you would use us to be rich in you and that we might be a blessing to many. We thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Would you give Brad a big round of applause and thank him for being here today? It's a good message. And some of the things that Brad said, he's shared with you his heart. And I just want you to know that as you leave today, out at Main Street and Coffee in the children's ministry area, we have some tables set up where you can give to be rich. Again, any money that you give to be rich does not stay here, it leaves. It goes to places like Mission of Hope and some of the other partners that we heard last week. If you'd like to go beyond that as well, we have some Team Hope cards out there. You heard the video. Brad kind of talked about the need for food. $10 roughly a month will feed a child, all right, for a month. And so if you'd like to be a part of that, maybe you and your family with your kids, we encourage you to check that out there, and you can just do that today. Yes?
One thing that I think is important to note, as of January, we're actually buying the food in-country.
Oh, yeah,
which is
good point.
a big deal, because right now we're feeding a child with it, but as of January we'll be supporting the farmers there by buying the food there, packaging in-country, so we're paying someone to package and supporting the child. So it's really a three times
triple win.
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's some good stuff. So as you give, look toward that. Also, we have people in need in our community as well. So it's not just global, it's local. Every bag you fill is leaving this building with food. Inside there's little cards. It tells you exactly what to fill, food items of this bag. Pick one up if you haven't done so out in the lobby as well. Bring it back by next Sunday. Next Sunday is when we'll take all these. After that, we won't for a while. But after next Sunday, we're going to distribute everything that we get for food through our local food banks in our community through Kay County, Kosciuszko County. So I know some of you already done that. You can pick up one bag. You can pick up two. You can pick up five. You can pick up 10. I don't care. Just whatever you feel like you can do, that would be great. And then today, as you prayed about it and you're ready to give financially, whatever the people ask me, well, Pastor, what do you want us to give? I want you to give whatever God lays on your heart. Just like the guy did in that service, it's not me to tell you, but you know where you are, and God knows what you can do, and he loves a cheerful giver. So all I ask of you is if you give, do it cheerfully. Do it because I want to make an internal difference. Today we have kiosks out there. You can give cash. You can write a check. You can give electronically through your credit card. That's all available out in the lobby. It'll be there this Sunday and next Sunday as well. And then we'll tally it all, and then we're going to announce it on October 11th, and we're going to give it all away. It's going to be an exciting time. I encourage you. You don't want to miss a day. If you want to watch some nonprofit people, especially in our area, get excited when you bless them, it's a fun thing to do. And it ought to be fun because we have a giving God, right? So one last thing before you go. I got one question for you, all right? Show Brad that you guys are really good students, right? If you could pick one action today that you could choose that would make an eternal difference in another person, what would it be? Yeah, I knew you'd get it. Let's pray. God, thanks. Thanks for the way you've blessed every one of us in this room. Thank you for the gospel that we've been given now to be stewards of, and God, I pray we'd be good stewards of it. Some of that's just I telling somebody about Jesus, but as Brad drove home today, Lord, it's one thing to talk it, it's another thing to walk it and actually live it and show it. An action that we choose today to love others. And so God, may love be evident in the way we serve. May it be evident in the way that we'll give financially to this be rich. I pray in particular for my buddy. I pray for Brad, his leadership. I pray for the Mission of Hope, the Americans that help raise money to help, but also the Haitians that are on the ground working day in and day out, being Jesus to the people. I pray that you would give favor to Mission of Hope as they continue, not only as we've heard in Haiti, but in Guatemala, as they get back now, Lord, and be able to really take that ministry to a new level and the gospel to unreached people, the same in the Dominican Republic. So just have your hand upon that. And God, I pray now that when we look back, we could stand before you and say, look what God did as your people gave. And we could make a difference not only in Haiti, but even here in Kosciuszko County in Northeast Indiana. Thank you for your love for us, Jesus. We pray now that we could love you in return. In Jesus' name. And God's people said, amen. Amen. Hey, thanks for joining us online.